Blog Talk Radio.
Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh no, you didn't.
Sucker tried to play me, but you never paid me, never.
Oh no, you didn't.
Payback is a-coming, you will be running forever.
Oh no, you didn't.
Until I get my vengeance, I will never end this mayhem.
Oh no, you didn't.
I'm a mercenary, you ain't got a prayer, you owe me.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you didn't.
Oh wow.
Didn't you?
Oh, no. You well, good morning, lovely.
good morning
there.
Out there in Guinea and.
Miss Ginger is stuck. Well, I can't remember where she's stuck, but she's not happy. It was all up in the high register. I was like, okay. So I had to wake up the snow, who is got a weird kind of gamer hangover something thing she's got going on.
I don't know what is wrong with me, but I swear I was dead to the world, and my phone goes off, and I'm thinking, who the is calling? I'm tired. And Corey, I'm like,
Did you really go there?
I did. I hung up the phone with a. That's all right, because I'm here and it is daytime, and I almost said the F bomb for the first thing in the daytime.
She did indeed.
Oh well. It's time for the show. That's cool. What's up, y'all? All right, we're good.
I got juice.
All right, spill.
All right, are you ready for the?
I can hear you. You're quiet. Maybe that's just me.
It might be because of the board there. For some reason, he has been picking up whatever volume we have the music at. Don't ask me why. Yeah, because I don't know. It's crazy. All right. So, for those of you hopefully who can hear me, for all who can hear the sound of my voice. Yeah, mic is turned all the way up, so nothing I can do for you there, Snow. All right. The juice is... The juice. Y'all need to be ready for this. Sit down, put your hands desk where we can see them. Game Informer is reporting that they have heard from Amazon Jeff Bezos that we may be getting a droid game console by the end of this year. Nice.
Nice. Nice.
Ah, there is. It gets even gooder. Yes. It will launch, if it does so exist, on Black Friday. Y'all know that's going to be crazy, right?
I hate it. I don't understand. I will not leave the house on Black Friday. I refuse. I just realized I'm going to be near my family for Thanksgiving. That is awesome. Yeah, my mama's home cooking. What you talking about? What?
Well, I will be here at my own house and probably passed out or something. Yeah,
I'm gonna have some of mama's home southern cooking. That's right, y'all.
I don't do Thanksgiving. I've told y'all why.
Yes,
very seldom do I do Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. You can't just be celebrating the death of my people. Yeah, all right.
If I was there, you'd be doing it because I'd be cooking for you. Be like, get your butt over here. I'm cooking.
Yes, you gotta watch your head. Be scalping people. No.
We're a little odd. It's okay. It's Friday. We're supposed to be odd. It's all good. It is Friday, right?
Yes. It'll be
okay.
A love scout.
Okay.
I don't know what is up with these people, you people out there in the Shark Cat and the DJ Cat. I see all this stuff popping up. Yeah, stop it. I have enough crazy cat things going on in the house. I need to just turn, you know, my computer and see it. I'm starting to feel like something has happened. I'm stuck in an alternate universe where cats are. Anyway, I've jumped all off.
Welcome to the entire web.
You're like, tell me more about the console. I'm sorry. Okay, so this is still a rumor, by the way, and Amazon is refusing to comment. They said they don't comment on rumors and speculation in an email statement, which pretty much says, yeah, we're doing it. We just don't want to talk about it. A couple of sources said they were not sure if Amazon is really, really serious and have had Ouya and NVIDIA Shield have launched recently, and there's a couple more on the way. So Amazon could really put a dent in the market because they're already set up. You know, they have their own marketplace already, and they're saying around $60 would be a good price. Wow, this could just be amazing. I'm hoping anyway.
If they do it right.
Mm-hmm. I have been wondering why Apple hasn't actually educated gaming. It's about time. You guys, people, a lot of developers are starting to make games for Apple. It's probably time to go ahead and throw your hat in the ring or make a gaming-centric iPad would be like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, really, oh, my God. Put this in your pocket. You can plug in a controller here. Matter of fact, it's a wobbler. Oh, what? Okay, I'm sorry. I got all excited. It doesn't even exist. I'm already designing it. Nice.
They need to give you a job. Ha, ha, ha.
I cannot comment on that.
Okay. I made it funny. I'm funny.
It's already on my Facebook page, but I cannot comment any further on that.
I made it funny. Is it my turn?
It's your turn, yes.
Okay. Okay, well, apparently there's another shakeup when it comes to staff. Apparently a former id Software creative director has decided to join Oculus VR, which this is not the first time that Oculus VR has stolen peeps from id Software. That's right.
So they got another person?
Yes, whoa, they sure did. Id Software creative director Matt Hooper has joined Oculus VR alongside id Software co-founder John Carmack at the company's new Dallas office. According to a statement from Oculus to Gamefront, Hooper has been out of id Software for several months. As a quote for you from him, it says, he's a top talent who had been out of id for a few months and ended up being a great fit for the Oculus team. We're looking for him. Prior to the move to Oculus, Hooper served at id Software for 10 years, working on the biggest properties of the company, including Doom and Rage. He was reportedly working on Doom 4. How this will affect the ongoing development of Quake 4 is anyone's guess, but Bethesda, back in April of the year, that a previous version of the game was not up to the standards of the series that fans expect. Another quote for you. This is from Bethesda's marketing boss, Pete Hines. He said, an earlier version of Doom 4 did not exhibit the quality and excitement that id and Bethesda intend to deliver and that Doom fans worldwide expect. As a result, it refocused its efforts on a new version of Doom 4 that promises to meet the very high expectations everyone has for this game and this franchise. When we're ready to talk about the Doom 4 id is making, we will let folks know. So apparently, they drew Matt Hooper over, and they are hoping that he will help out with Quake 4, or Doom, wait, what? I'm confused. Whew. How they're hoping that this will help out Quake 4, even though Doom 4 was in the works, but they said, well, we don't know, it's not very good right now, we need to work on it more. They really need to let them die. That's another one of those games, when you're on number 4, and it's still pretty much the same premise, you need to let that one go. I'm just saying. There's only so much you can do with shooting disgusting freaks of biological genetic nature.
I just, you know, Quake was the first of the first-person shooters, but it's probably time to leave that realm. And, you know, the other people have just oversaturated it. It's just, go do something else. Be an innovator of something completely new. I think I played Quake, the original Quake, for a total of 2 days before I got bored. And that was long before, you know, there was a Call of Duty, a Battlefield, or any of them. So I was bored. You can only shoot things in the face that are aliens.
Exactly.
Single player so many times before you're like, I'm just done.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm telling you, go ahead.
You go ahead.
I was going to say that there are other realms you could do in first-person version. I mean, like Thief is first-person and very, very good. Why don't you find something along those lines? Maybe take it to another time period or something, because I love Thief being first-person. Of course, it requires stealth, and there's no gun guns. It's all arrows and, you know, sneak around, stab, shoot with arrows, try to douse the lights, torches, you know, with water arrows. You got old arrows that make the fire bigger. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So try something else, maybe. This same thing over and over. I think you reached your apex when you had The Rock do the movie, and that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Did you ever see the Quake movie? Did you see the Quake movie?
No, I saw a Doom movie, not Quake.
Wait, oh no, I'm sorry, it was Doom. See, yeah. I can't tell one from the other. That's why it's time for you to quit.
Yeah, exactly whenever that starts happening, you're done. You're done. Sorry.
Time to go. All right, did you remember what you were going to say, or did you forget?
Hold on, I forgot. Oh no, yes, I remember. Okay, I remember. I'll tell you why something like Final Fantasy works. Because Final Fantasy is not just a type of game. It's not just an FPS, a shooter, like to shoot people in the face. It's a whole other world. You know, and not only is it a whole other world, they're doing different time frames in the same freaking world. So that's why Final Fantasy can work with so many games coming out. As long as they do the games correctly, guys. I'm looking forward to this beta. Don't ruin it for me, okay? But that's why Final Fantasy can work. But Doom, there's not much going on. You're shooting aliens in the face. That's it.
All right. Here's some disturbing news. Yeah. Edward Snowden's email provider is down. And the mail email was a very ominous note. He's not really explaining why he's down. According to VentureBeat, Ladar Levinson, who's the founder of LavaBit, expressed anguish after having to decide between becoming complicit in crimes against the American people or shut down his business nearly 10 years in the making. He founded his company in 2004 and was dedicated to protecting the privacy of those who used it. The website explained that its initial concerns came from the way Gmail uses people's data to serve them relevant advertising. Among other efforts to keep user data secure, encrypting all before saving them to its servers, which would be attractive to those wishing to send secret communications. In early July, Snowden applied for political asylum in Russia after top secret information, of course, about the U.S. government surveillance program called PRISM was released. At the time, Tanya Lokshina, the deputy director of Human Rights Watch, relayed the information about Snowden's decision to the New York Times, and she suggested that he send an email to political officials requesting they meet with him regarding the asylum application. The email, according to Lokshina, came from a LavaBit address. Levinson explained in a letter that for the last 6 weeks he's been dealing with events that led to his decision, none of which he can legally discuss. He says, I feel you deserve to know what's going on. The First Amendment is supposed to guarantee me the freedom to speak out in situations like this. Unfortunately, Congress has passed laws that say otherwise. If you are to believe that Snowden actually used the service, these events are likely connected. His full letter states, my fellow users, I have been forced to make a difficult decision to become complicit in crimes against the American people or walk away from nearly 10 years of hard work by shutting down LavaBit. After significant soul searching, I have decided to suspend operations. I wish that I could legally ship you the events that led to my decision. I cannot. I feel you deserve to know what's going on. The First Amendment is supposed to guarantee me the freedom to speak out in situations like this. Unfortunately, Congress has passed laws that say otherwise. As things are currently stand, I cannot share my experience over the last 6 weeks, even though I have twice made the appropriate requests. What's going to happen now? We've already started preparing the paperwork needed to continue the fight for the constitution of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. A favorable decision would allow me to resurrect LavaBit as an American company. This experience has taught me one very important lesson. Without congressional action or a strong judicial precedent, I would strongly recommend against anyone trusting their private data to a company with physical ties to the United States. That was very best. Sincerely, Ladar Levinson, owner and operator of LavaBit LLC. And he says, defending the Constitution is expensive. Help us by donating to LavaBit Legal Defense Fund. So he has a website set up or a PayPal account. Our government, you guys are looking like first-class ass.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, and I see something really bad coming. We got by last night that was making the comments from the NSA, and now you're, you know, I don't know what's going on. This is my assumption, is that they're bullying this guy into shutting down because he helped Edward Snowden, or actually help him. He just had a business that he used. Since when is it legal to arrest or harass somebody for what someone else does with business? Like me, or like McDonald's suing me, or somebody suing McDonald's because I threw a burger in their face and it burned their eye. Why would you sue McDonald's? They just made the burger, they handed it to me. I did the damage. So whatever Edward Snowden did should be between Edward Snowden and the United States. I don't know if that's what you did, but if it turns out that's ridiculous to go after somebody because of what Snowden used. This is getting uglier and uglier. And our government is not coming out looking like the government they keep telling us we are. I thought we were in a free country. I guess we're not. We have the illusion of freedom over here, apparently.
They allow us our freedoms as long as it goes along with what they want.
I'm going to apply for my passport. All right, here I come. I'm a little early. I was supposed to come when I retire, but I may have to get there a little early.
Shoot, I'm going to go to Sweden. Free health care.
Oh, that's not far. I visit you when I need to go to the doctor.
All right. Where's for me?
Fly up there over the weekend. Oh, gosh. I'm shocked at that one. That one was kind of that was very disturbing.
Yeah, that is actually disturbing.
All right, lady, it'd be your turn.
I know, but I should be surprised, but I'm not. Anyway, okay. We're going to talk about EverQuest next. And this actually.
What? Exactly.
I actually hadn't heard about this until somebody asked me about it. I'm like, EverQuest what? So I tried to do a little bit of in research on it.
Do you have video? Do you have video? Got a website or something?
I might actually have a video. I don't know. But let me give you this first. Because remember, I'm working on like an hour of sleep, and that's not cool. So EverQuest, if you don't know EverQuest, where the have you been? Seriously? EverQuest?
Right.
What? Apparently, they're coming out with a new one. EverQuest Next is what it's called. And from what I can tell, from what I'm reading, they're going to be taking us back. And it's a very long article. It's on IG, and they apparently did an interview. So I'm only going to hit highlights of it. Yeah, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is a freaking long interview. So EverQuest Next, from what I can tell, is apparently going to be taking us back to those hardcore MMO days that we've been talking about, Corey. You remember those?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, at one point, and I'll read just a few excerpts from it, and then we'll talk about it, a few highlights. Here's one. At one point, a player asked if environmental damage would exist in EverQuest Next, offering the example of destroying a building and using it to cause damage to surrounding monsters. The answer from David Georgeson, EverQuest Next Director of Development, was surprisingly direct. He says, yes, that is our intent. When something is destroyed or blows up, that might create additional damage for people nearby, like area of effect. How awesome is that? Seriously?
Ooh, that's like, what was that game, Auto Assault? Remember Auto Assault?
Yes,
I love that.
I love being able to break that. Georgeson also hinted that such effects may play a significant role in PvP, and he says, I mean, my God, how can we have destructibility without talking about PvP? So apparently that's also going to be effective in the PvP area. So that's awesome. And I'm skipping down a whole bunch, so it may sound a little disjointed, but that's on purpose because I'm not trying to read the whole thing. I'd be reading forever. As for traditional grouping, Georgeson and senior producer Terry Michaels remained largely mum, aside from an insistence that EverQuest Next wouldn't have the traditional MMO trinity of tanks, heals, and DPS. When Michaels was asked if there would be a shared tagging system to encourage cooperation among players who aren't grouped, he said there's not even going to be a tagging system like you're referring to. He says we're not going to restrict things to an individual. Very vague on that, but he says that he wants to make sure that seeing other people is never a negative for you. He wants to make sure people are happy to see other human beings. He says, We know that social interaction is the backbone of an MMO. He's absolutely right. It is. Without players, we don't have a game. Without social interaction, players don't stick around. That's absolutely right. Unfortunately, EverQuest Next, Lack of a Trinity, bears worrisome of what I call the faceless group play of games like Guild Wars 2. There's group content out there that requires a group. It doesn't matter how you collect, just only one dude. I am a little worried that there's not, like, a healer role, a tank role, and DPS role. But maybe they'll do it. I like EverQuest. We'll see how they do. Now we're going to get to one thing that is near and dear to both Corey and my heart.
Crafting.
Ready? Absolutely. That's it, baby. Crafting.
Do it. Which
spoke of this emphasis on crafting in the context of massive projects he'd seen somewhere online. I'll go ahead and read this whole thing because it is exciting. One of the reasons I'm so sued, you have no idea. This is super exciting. One of the reasons why you want a lot of people to work with you is because if you want your guild hall to have this beautiful mahogany floor, you're going to have to find the Black Forest and harvest all of that. That forest, he said, might be on the other side of the world. So you'd want to send some guildies to get that and others to search a volcano for obsidian for tiling. Are you kidding me? Seriously? A worry was expressed that many players would just start buying all the items on the auction house, and Georgeson seemed nonplussed. He says it will definitely be important in sticking something on the auction house. And then both he and asked that there might not even be an auction house.
An auction house. Hell yeah.
What? Are you kidding?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is old school.
It is. That is very, very old school. He says... This is what he said about crafters. I love this. I love it so true. Crafters are the social glue. It's not because they actually craft. It's because of the personalities that are attracted to crafting. They're the kinds of people who organize guilds, they set up raids, they solve disputes between players. In Michael's words, they make social interaction work. Very, very true.
True. I won't set up a guild, but I will be the one to craft everything. You want what? What raid? Okay, I got it. Don't talk to me for hours. I'm busy.
No. I will set up a raid. I will. I'm very organized. I don't know why, but when it comes to MMOs, I am freaking organized. I'm like, this is what we're doing.
I already know this about you. Remember, me and Ginger still are trying to figure out. We get into Fallen Earth all at the same time. We can't find snow. We're trying to figure out how to make our clothes. Snow rolls up looking like she just rolled off of the Vogue version of Fallen Earth with her purple pants and the purple shirt and the matching shoes. Like, what the hell were you doing? How did you figure that out? He's like, oh, it was easy. I just got this, and this, and then I put this together, and then you just do this, and then I dyed it. Like, we don't have that stuff. Oh, no, I found it over there. You got to go over by those cows over there and those chickens over there around the corner. It's like, oh, my God. So, yes, we know you are good at organizing, but I do not want to, you know, I'm introverted. Even in my games, that's part of the reason why I craft is because I like to sit somewhere by myself. Sometimes I like to watch people, even in the game, or listen to them talk when they pass by, and I like for them to come to me and say, hey, can you make me an XYZ? Yes, and that's going to cost you this many gold, and, you know. I like to quest when I ever quest, as in roam off and find places where I end up getting killed so that I can complain. You know, that's what I call to be complaining. Like that woman with them cupcakes. Do you know that woman came back 6 times? Okay, what's
up? Oh, Mike, are you seriously still on that cupcakes? You need to, like, stream the cupcakes. I'm telling you. Stream the so people know what we're talking about.
Now, see, Lady Crazy in the chat room, and she says she's all for no auction halls. I am all for that, too. I think if you have certain things, don't need to be available via auction. You can't put them on the auction house. You have to get them in-game. I mean, I'm not totally opposed to it, but I don't want somebody to be able to buy their way past the level or buy their way into certain things that I would normally go and get because, you know, I like to play the game. I want to work hard. Yeah.
You know what?
Speaking of MMO,
this is what I'm excited about. Hold on, this is what I'm excited about. I'm excited about the group effort crafting. Seriously, I want to go back to the old school days of EverQuest where crafting was hard, where you had to work for it. Where I made an item and I was like, "Look,
it's okay. That one is okay for daytime."
Okay. Okay, good. Look here, bitches. I just made this. This is what I made. It took me such and such time, and I am proud of this. And it sounds weird to say that you'd be proud of making something in a game, but if it takes skill and it takes time, and, you know, you had to go around, you had to gather all the items, and it took, like, a multiple-step process, that's what I want. I don't want crafting to be easy where anybody can do it. Like, in Star Wars, it is stupidly easy. It's so stupid. I don't even like crafting.
And then on the opposite end, Fallen Earth, very
right?
hard to craft.
Fallen Earth is like super hard, but I love it. You saw me. I love. If I could, you know what? I may actually subscribe to Fallen Earth just to craft, because I loved crafting in Fallen Earth. It was hard. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Every second of it. Every single second of it.
I told you Z spent hours looking for stuff to craft with. Which is equally fun. Cutting cotton on this hillside.
Yeah.
I didn't see this hillside before. I was never on that side. But she was for hours, you know, clipping cotton all up and down the hillside and, you know, trying not to die. So it is difficult in Fallen Earth, but lovely, as Snow said, if you like to craft. If you don't, Fallen Earth is not for you little crying, whiny babies.
No.
That are afraid to play a hard game. You're not going to level grind. It's not going to happen quickly. You're going to be in there a while.
Those
zombies aren't there. Those were put in just for us, believe it or not.
No. There is a place on the map. Not those zombies. There's a place on the map. I went there. I was looking for it. They said, well, you go here and you need to find a specific thing for crafting. I said, cool.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. It's by that little town that sits like off to the right.
Yes.
Way out.
No joke. Do they chase you forever? And they hit
and
hard.
And they like a herd. They're like a herd in that whole big area there, yeah.
Yes, they hit hard, too. Like, two hits, I was down. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, one clothesline me off the back of my motorcycle. It was not cute.
Yeah.
And when I say clothesline, I'm not even joking. I was like, oh, zombie arm. Okay. All right. We got to do the stories.
Okay, sorry. I'm excited.
Scion World. I know. I'm just as excited. I'm going to do some research after because beta time. Trion World has confirmed that it is shutting down its San Diego office, which has been working on the online sci-fi multiplayer shooter Defiant, which I did not play because I could not watch the show and I just didn't see any point. If the show couldn't pull me in, the game wasn't going to do it either.
Sure.
Again, the day-to-day operations of Defiance will be moved to the Redwood City studio, which, if I'm not mistaken, is where EA also has some studios as well. Well, EA does own Defiance, don't they? Yeah. They said they're all put it alongside Rift, and they have another couple titles in development, Archage and End Nations. They said as part of this transition, we're working hard to ensure that a number of great people will be making the move from San Diego Bay Area and continue their work at Trion. The news came on the same day that the company announced its new CEO, Scott Hartzman, who was formerly the chief creative officer and Rift executive producer. They said in May of this year, of course, they did see some staff cuts. They reorganized some teams, and they're expanding their free-to-play offering. I hope most of you get to keep your jobs. And if not, there's lots of places hiring. And our job boards go back up sometime today, so come over and check it out. We got all the good gaming jobs. Oh, you didn't want to play Defiance either, did you, Snow?
No.
See, I tried. I thought it was. I think it's a great idea to mix a TV show with a game, and, you know, and entangle the storylines. But I tried to watch the pilot episode of Defiance. Like, I'm not even kidding you. I recorded it, and I recorded two or three more episodes, and I couldn't get past the first 10 minutes. It was too. It just didn't. Nothing about it made me interested. And I kept hearing great things about the game, but I didn't want to play one without the other since they went together. So just never could get into it. Sorry there, Defiance. I hope y'all hang on. You have some fans, though. They have a lot of fans.
I never like to see a game end. I never do. I don't care what game it is. I don't care if I like it or not. I never like to see it end because somebody likes it. And I know what it's like to have one of your games stop, just disappear. Breaks my heart.
It's gone.
It really does.
Except for way back when, that game I played our first year in existence, A Quiet Weekend in Capri, that game should be taken out and shot. A mercy killing to the gamer, at least.
Wow.
It is the most horrible game ever.
Wow. All right, my turn.
Any times it takes you 3 hours to install a game because you're just installing the JPEGs that are in it, it should not be allowed to live.
What?
3 hours.
To install the JPEGs?
Yes, just the JPEGs for the game. And then when I got it, it was a point-and-click thing.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
And it wasn't even a good point-and-click. It was literally just pictures, and you click on certain spots on the pictures. This was in, God, early 2004. It was horrible. I can't even believe you sent this. You should hide this game. You should bury it. Burn it up. Sprinkle the ashes. Salt the earth.
y'all, I'm thinking she doesn't like it. I can't tell. It's a little difficult to tell. But I'm thinking that she doesn't like that game.
Hate that flipping game. Oh. All right. Go this, no go.
All right. Guild Wars 2 has an anniversary coming up.
Ew.
On August 28th. Yeah. Hey, man, some people like it. We just had a conversation. And apparently, they heard it in a big way. Game director Colin Johansson has revealed some of the ways ArenaNet plans to celebrate the anniversary. In an interview with IGN, Johansson revealed that characters will receive a present on their birthdays, as was the case in the original Guild Wars, and also explained that the team hopes the anniversary patch will show players about the game's future. Additionally, it's set to change the world forever, something the team are keen to see happen more often. It's a quote for you from him. We're going to do a release on the 20th that is intended to be our big anniversary release celebration. That release is intended not only to provide a lot of awesome content for people to experience, but to also set the tone for what they should expect for the living world and the types of things we want to do with events in the years to come. It takes the story of the last year and brings it all together and makes it clear where everything has been going and really closes a lot of open questions that players have had. It's a story that really affects the entire world and permanently creates content and change for the entire world game-wide, which is really something that's important to us, and we want to showcase that that's where stuff is headed. He says, I think we have some ambitious plans for next year for what we want to do with the event system, and this kind of showcases a little step of where that can go. Alongside the new content, Johansson explained players could expect to receive a present on their character's birthday, as was the case in the original Guild original Guild Wars. That's so nice. It's a nice little touch. While Guild Wars 1 saw players usually receive mini pets on characters' birthdays, it's unclear just what members of Guild Wars 2 community will be gifted. He says, we will offer a gift to players. It's something we did Guild Wars 1 and bring it back in Guild Wars 2 when their character turns 1 year old. There'll be a gift that becomes available, so that's something for them to look forward to. And we'll complement this with a lot of other exciting stuff as well. Guild Wars 2 recently announced some of its plans for the future in terms of content, as well as switched to a 2-week cycle for major update releases. So they've got some big changes going on. I kind of like that the timeline is moving, you know? I kind of like that the people who have been in there day one aren't stuck with the same freaking game. I like that it's moving. I do like that.
Nah.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
Guild Wars 1. It was fun. I enjoyed it. But it was not fun enough for me to play Guild Wars 2.
You see?
Yeah.
And there you go. All right, I got a short one, and then it's going to be time for some Friday game sales, because I know y'all got your money. You got your big money. You want to know what's on sale. Okay, so Jeff Gates and Todd Semple from the company Starfield Studios joined Valve. That little Valve company that makes Steam, or they're part of Steam. I'm not really sure. But they've left already 8 months after being there. Yeah, the pair is going to launch a new studio called Temple Gates Games, and they says, we are big fans of the – well, this is from Valve. They said, we're big fans of their prior work. We work with them during their startup phase, but they're indie now and still working on their game, and we wish them luck. That's what they told our frenemies over at IGN. Gates and Semple joined Valve just back in December when it snapped up Starfield Studios. Their track record includes, peep this, work at LucasArts, Blizzard North, Maxis, and Pocket, where Semple, get this, Snow, was the programmer for Plants vs. Zombies.
Wow.
Yeah, impressive, right? Jeff Gates and I, they're working on indie games again. He says, we were working for Valve and were often weren't many benefits for either side of that arrangement. So Valve was super cool about it and is letting us continue to work on our games and is giving us the office. So Jeff and I are starting up a new company. It's not clear what Starfield Studios was working on either when the pair joined Valve or since. So who knows what they were doing. I hope there's no anything bad that comes out later. It all seems amicable now, but oof, y'all need to... I hope y'all are hashing out anything to do with code or whatever you're working on. All right, it's time for game sales. Woo-hoo!
Put it down, because you know that's what they're waiting on. They want the games. It's Friday.
I know. Friday. Okay, so you... Wait a minute. I got to sort them out by the correct prices, because we have to start from the lowest to highest. So,
That's right.
You are sitting there today, doing your gamer meditation, and you say, I am broke. I have only... $5 to my name, and I'm free, and I win a new game. Well, you hop on your little self over to Gamer's Gate. Wait a minute. Now I'm going to have to let you do a story, because now I got to grab
all
that.
Right.
That
all right.
I'll be right back.
She got y'all's hopes up, and she totally just dashed it on the rocks.
Dashed
y'all hear
hope.
That? All right. I got you. We're going to wait on that, but I'm going to go ahead and jump in with this. Australia, you crazy. I'm just going to say that straight off the bat. You crazy. Not only is your games, all right, you know what, cat, get off of me. Sorry, that was Attack of the Cat. Not only is it nearly impossible to get a game in your country, but now Sony Australia is fighting the Australian Taxation Office in a $53 million dispute. That's right, you heard me. $53 million dispute. What? Whew. Sony Australia is in a dispute with the Australian Taxation Office over $53 million AUD, I guess is American U.S. dollars, I guess. I don't know what that means. I don't know. $53 million is a lot, okay? Which comes from 5 years of tax adjustments, taxes owed, and penalties that the company believes are in error. A Sony Computer Entertainment Australia spokesperson confirmed the news with GameSpot, but added that its PlayStation business in Australia has not been affected by it. Sony is appealing the assessment. Now, the Australian Tax Office, the ATO, issued assessments against Sony Australia and has no impact on the Sony Computer Entertainment Australia Party Limited business. Sony Computer Entertainment Australia is a totally separate legal entity, a spokesperson told GameSpot. The Australia... Shush! I'm reading. I'm having to take over stuff. The Australia Taxation Office had no comment because it can't publicly talk about ongoing cases due to privacy laws. While specifics of the situation are unclear, it is believed that the dispute arose out of the ATO's increasing scrutiny of multinational organizations and the distribution of local earnings outside of Australian borders. Financial disclosures released by Sony showed that the company appealed several amended assessments issued by the tax body in May, linked to 5 years of returns from 2005 to 2008 and 2010. The total amount of additional tax is reportedly 32.7 million AUD, with interest of 17.7 million AUD, and penalties totaling 3.3 million AUD. So my first comment was, Australia, you crazy.
You cray cray,
because not only is it impossible to get a game up in Australia, but now Sony Australia is fighting the tax office in Australia over $53 million, saying, nah, man, see, this ain't right.
And they don't allow alien anal probes in.
Right? I mean, who would not allow an alien anal probe? Come on now, really? That just sounds like fun to me.
Yes, I think so too. All right, so back to my game sales.
All right, we're back to the sales.
I had to grab that. Okay, so I got you all zen and everything, and you were counting your pennies. You had a jar out, and you were like, okay, I got $5, Corey. I got $5. First, you're going to pop over to Gamer's Gate and pick up a little game called Hamilton's Great Adventure for 30 cents.
Wow.
And then you can go to Wendy's and get your 99-cent burger and your drink and your dessert, and there's your Friday, a nice Friday night, brand new game. Now, you can also pick up Europa. Very good idea. You can pick up Europa Universalis 3. Now, the new one of that is coming out, so if you play this, you can get caught up. Green Man Gaming is 49 cents. There's also something called Post-Apocalyptic Mayhem you can pick up at Steam. Now, it's not the full game. It's just a DLC, so you should already have the game. But that's 49 cents just for DLC. They got a ton of these that are just $49.50. So I'm going to jump up because you're like, well, I can afford a little more than that. I am going to Wendy's. So, 75 cents, you can pick up a game called Fate of the World, Denial, Wizorb, Insecticide, the Atypical RPG. Hey, gamers, I don't know what that one's about, but it's kind of interesting. The Atypical, or, yeah, I'm going to look at that later. Okay, then you're like, I can afford a little more. Well, and you have Saints Row already, right? Go over to Gamer's Gate. All the DLCs are 8 cents each. That's right, Saints Row the Third, mind you. Money Spot, Bloodsucker, the Third Unlockable, the Third Explosive, Third Shark Attack, 80 cents. So you're like, I actually have $10, Corey. I would like to get a couple more games. Well, then you can still go over to Gamer's Gate. They're having a massive sale this week for some reason. I don't know why. They got a game called Velvet Assassin. That looks interesting, too. I'm going to open that up for later. Okay. Then you got 7-8. See, these sales are made for people like me. I'm like, man, I got 5 new games. I don't even want to talk to y'all for the rest of the weekend. Those are $1.25. They have something called Zombie Shooter. If you love your zombies, that's $1.25. At still Gamersgate. Gamersgate is trying to keep up with that Steam sale that happened last week. Steam. Now, this is one of our favorites here. We have interacted with the developers quite often. Guns of Icarus is an excellent game if you've not played it. A lot of PvP, if you like that kind of thing. Kind of like playing Halo, but on a floating ship, but in steampunk mode. That is $1.69 on Steam. You can afford that. And a burger and the fries. That's still under $5 or $10. So you're still sitting there. You're like, I got more money than that. I can afford a little more. Well, let me jump up here. So you got $10. You can go ahead and go over to Steam and pick up Guns of Icarus online, because the other one is offline, for $6.79. You can also pick up, and that's at Steam, you can also pick yourself up a game called Border Zone for $6.99 at Green Man Gaming, El Matador as well, Foreign Legion Multi-Massacre. That sounds interesting. Not going to open that up for later, though. For those of you who are like, I don't really want to kill anybody or shoot anything or chase zombies, Jewel Quest Solitaire 2 is also on sale at Green Man Gaming for $6.99. Wow, you're still saying, I got more money than that. Come on, chick, give me something good. Well, let's jump up. You got $20. You right there. You got $20, right? Yeah, you. Okay, well, you can go over to Desura, Gamer's Gate, or Green Man Gaming and pick up Fat Shark Collection, Deep Black Reloaded, Margrave Mysteries, The Lost Ship. I think that's a point-and-click one, that one. It's still, I got more money. I'm going to find something here in a minute that's going to make Snow go, but not yet. You people that have never played Eve Online, they're offering at Gray Man Gaming a 30-day starter pack for $19.99. If you are just kind of sort of balling, you're not really balling, you let me, you got $40.
Balla.
Now, here's where I'm about.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Balla, shakala. Here's where I'm about to mess Snow's day up. She's going to hate me.
What?
The Sims 3 starter pack at GameStop, digital download. This comes with Late Night. Wait a minute. Let me scroll down. It comes with Late Night, the original Sims, and the high-end loft stuff, and they give you some downloadable bonus content for $19.99.
What?
That's three games in one, people. Each of those games was originally $39.99. Yes, it works with your Windows XP, your Vista 7, your SP1, and I think we announced earlier in the week they have added on a patch. If you have a Mac, you can get them to work it out.
Girl, I have already got the original one. Don't.
Well, that one you give to someone else as a gift. GameStop has also marked down the latest expansion pack that came out for The Sims, The Island Paradise, $29.99. So that's $10 off of the original price. And some of you are still like, I am bowling. Well, if you haven't played Elder Scrolls Skyrim, you can go over to Green Man Gaming and pick it up for $49.99. And if you're just like, I got it like that, well, you can hop over to Steam and get yourself something called Artisy Draft, or you can get the upgrade for $84.89. I am going to find out what this is for you. This is actually software. It's a game design and story tool for those of you who like to do game design. That's actually not a bad price for an engine and thing to build on. $84.99 for that. So, you got something to do this weekend, and I have told you how to do it. Some of you got 30 cents hiding in your couch cushions, and as Snow says, we need a little coin slot hooked up to your computer.
Do.
But you don't. In case you don't, what you do is you go over to your friend's house that's got a PayPal account and you say, do this 30 cents. Can you put 30 cents in my PayPal account so I can buy this candy? I'm putting cash in your hand. It's like a pack of gum if you live in Texas. You can get you a pack of 5 sticks of Big Red for 25 cents if you live in Texas.
Girl, I'm telling you, we know deals. Don't get me wrong. We do deals. Okay.
Oh, and then some. I'm not going to I need the most games for the least amount of money. All right.
Dude, so I've got a couple of deals off of Steam you didn't quite say.
Well, I can't do them all.
That's true, but let me say this one, because this one I'm kind of like, what? Shadow Warrior? I'm not sure what that is. Shadow Warrior Classic Redux, if you know what that is, it's only $3.40 on Steam, and it's only for the next 24 hours and 15 minutes.
That's evil. Oh, I see that! Oh!
Right?
Not right.
And then there's the Super House of Dead Ninjas, which is only $3.49 on Steam. This is, you know what, I can't look at this anymore.
Don't you just want to go down and buy everything on the page?
Yes.
It's not even games that even look interesting to you. You're just like, that is $3 and that's a game.
Exactly.
I will learn to love it.
Exactly. And Prison Architect,
I will
$30.
Learn to love it.
$30.
Stop. No, stop.
Right there. Look at Prison Architect. $30.
I'm going to get mine. Actually, it was on sale for the Humble Bundle that went there right as went off from the news. It went on sale, and I tweeted it out to everybody. I hope you got yourself a copy because it was $19.99 yesterday.
Hey,
for a short period.
Why did you tell me?
Because you were sleeping or something.
Oh, that's true. I sleep a lot.
It was during the day.
Yeah.
You're like that Smurf that sleeps all the time. Okay, so I got another little quickie. She's like, she is. She's like, well, you know what? I can't talk. I sleep too. I may have to grab a nap. You have to nap if you game. You have to.
You do.
To get your napping in good.
You do, because you're
gaming
whole,
done properly.
Your whole internal clock gets messed up if you stay up all night gaming, which I did, and then I got sick for a couple of days, and my internal clock is all screwed up.
Work. All right, here's something that we already know. But I found funny because we talk about this all the time, that we have a generation of people in power who are technologically dumb.
Yeah.
They know nothing about technology. They don't have a Twitter account. So, VentureBeat did a little study. 68% of CEOs have absolutely no presence on any social media, except for LinkedIn for some reason. Warren Buffett apparently was joking that after he sent his very first tweet just this year in May, he now has 541,905 followers, and all he's done is 2 tweets. And that makes you wonder why we have so many CEOs of Fortune 500 companies that don't have at least 1 hour of Facebook and so on. According to a new study by CEO.com, a massive 68% of old gray-haired men and women have no social presence whatsoever. In fact, 500 leaders of the biggest companies here in the U.S., which is just 28 of them are the only ones on Twitter, of 500, only 38 are on Facebook. And there are five on one hand that have a Google Plus account. The one exception again is LinkedIn. For some people like that one, I have to say that's true. Because as y'all know, the coins to skew toward the older gentlemen sometimes, and all of them always have a LinkedIn, but they never have a Facebook. Okay, so how you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, so this year, almost a third of Fortune 500 CEOs have a LinkedIn account. 27.9% of them, that's 140 in total, have posted a profile on LinkedIn. That's up from the 25.9% last year. That's higher than Americans in general. About 20% of them whom are active on a career-focused social site. In all, 140 of the top CEOs in America are on LinkedIn, and 25 of them have more than 500 connections. It's surprising, VentureBeat is saying, that more CEOs don't establish social profiles. Now, Warren Buffett's astonishing acquired followers per tweet rate is ridiculous. It averages out to about 270,000 followers per tweet. But they said probably won't happen again. Fortune 500 CEOs gain followers almost 20 times faster than average users, over 200 times faster if you include Buffett's stats. And that kind of following and attention can have significant positive impact on a company. Just a few that we do see on LinkedIn: Meg Whitman, Jamie Dimon, Jeff Immelt, and John Donahoe. And if you don't know who they are, you probably should. Meg Whitman is the CEO at HP. She has 220,000 followers. That is Jeff Immelt. He's the GE chief executive. He has 40,000. As well as Jamie Dimon, they both have 40,000. CEO of JP Morgan Chase. And if you're like, who is that? You need to go get your money out of the bank right now, because I'm scared, because they run banks. Yeah. Almost every bank, even the ones that say something else, they are owned by JP Morgan. He has 130,000 followers, and that means the CEOs are among the most powerful influencers. This is just on LinkedIn, not Twitter. As far as Facebook goes, there's only one they say that stands out. Of course, it's Mark Zuckerberg, because it's his. He has 16,702,263 followers. Also, Google CEO Larry Page. He is on Google Plus. He has 363,808 circles on Google Plus. Zuckerberg, of course, rules his own nest, but CEO participation on Facebook is stagnant. Only 7% of you have started since last year. You guys are going to have to get with it, because you know what's going to happen. We have some malicious people that are going to claim to be you on Facebook, and they're going to ruin your business. You got to get in there, people. Come on. Get in there. Get in there.
It is a little worrying that the most powerful people in America have no idea what's going on social media. I mean, no. I would think if you have that much business savvy, and obviously you do if you're a CEO of a company, of a very lucrative company, obviously you have business savvy, so you need to be aware that you need to keep in touch with the people that you serve, and that would be via social media.
Exactly. Somehow. We are not in love with Comcast here, but I will give them credit. Them and Samsung probably have the best customer service via Twitter. I want to specify that, via Twitter, not on the phone, that I have ever seen to date. If you say something, if I was to tweet something about Comcast right now and it wasn't good, I'm probably within the next 5 minutes, if that long, going to get somebody that's saying, can I help you? And then they're going to move the heaven and the earth to help me on Twitter, not on the phone. Samsung, same thing. My TV went out, I made a comment, and I got a tweet back within 30 seconds, and the next day a guy showed up with a little operating table to fix my TV. So I like it. So these guys, this is amazing to me that they don't have a presence, or even though they have and they're not interacting with their customers, this is, as they say, has a great impact on your business, especially with the younger generation. That's where they are. They are on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're on Google Plus.
Imagine,
and they see you there.
Imagine the surge in business that they would have if they would just get a grip on this one part of the new technology, of the new world, because it really is a new world. The internet has opened up the world. The social media has opened up, you know, the world for everyone to become involved with everything. And if you could just take a grip on that, just get a grip and use that, utilize it to help your business, can you imagine the surge in profits? Seriously. And it doesn't take that long. It doesn't take long to send tweets. You can even assign someone to do the tweeting for you. Okay?
Hell, you can set up tweets to automatically go out for the next month. You don't even have to look at it.
Right. Exactly.
That's what Hootsuite does, I know for a fact. I had to do it for a client. Yeah, you can set them up. You can just sit down one day on a Saturday with your little coffee and say, on this day I want to announce this is going to be going on the company, so on and so forth, and be done with it, walk away. And on that day the tweets will go out, you may notice you get a bunch back. You can say, oh, that's that tweet I set up. And some of y'all got to – I think the one that worries me most is the one that's head of HP and the JP Morgan, because that's my money and my computers. I need for you guys to really stay on top of it. The other ones I can probably say, but you guys need to be on top of it all the time.
Exactly.
Okay, why am I thinking about buying the late night expansion and I've already paid for it?
I don't know, but you know what? I am going to go ahead and do another story real quick, because this is kind of funny to me. Okay? It's very short, so we got time. Apparently, Sony is not expecting PS3-like losses for PS4. I wonder why. For one, because I've totally screwed the pooch and gave y'all guys a leg up. Let me go ahead and tell you. For the PlayStation 4, Sony is not expecting to incur losses on the same level it did with the PlayStation 3. That's according to Sony Computer Entertainment CEO Andrew House. He says, "We will not generate anything like the losses we did for the PlayStation 3. According to the report, Sony lost more than $3.5 billion in 2007 and 2008 after the PS3 launched for $600 in 2006. That's a whole lot of money.
Yes. They deserved it. $600?
Yes.
Come on.
Right? CEO, I don't know how to pronounce your name, Kazuo Hirai?
Smith.
Smith. Mr. Smith has said the system did not become, now this is the worst part. He said the system did not become profitable until 2011. So it came out in 2006, and it was not profitable until 5 years later. Sony aims to avoid PS3-like losses for the PS4 in part due to a smaller investment in the PS4 relative to the PS3. CFO Masaru Kato said on a recent earnings call, Kato said Sony spent hundreds of millions in designing the PS3's chipset and billions on semiconductor fabrication because these technologies were not readily available. He said there were no manufacturing capacity or technology to manufacture these chipsets, so the amount of investment that went into PS3 was quite big. By comparison, Kato said that PS4 is a much lighter platform in terms of investment due to its PC-like architecture. He says at the core, we have available, then we are putting a proprietary technology around that core chipset. The amount of investment is much, much smaller. I cannot give the absolute amount. The PS4 launches worldwide this holiday for $399, which is a darn sight better than $600, let me tell you. And it is a full $100 below Xbox One. That's right, boys and girls. Not to mention, Microsoft. Totally screwed themselves with that horrible E3. Wow.
They should not have let Master speak for them.
No. They totally screwed themselves over completely and utterly. So, yes, I have a feeling PS4 is going to be very lucrative, and I might look into getting me PS4 for Christmas for myself for Christmas present.
Oh, I got a whole bunch of presents that I'm only doing for myself. All right, I got time for this one really quick. You UK people, just so you know, that sale business extends to you now, not via some of those companies I mentioned, but Amazon has launched its digital game service in the UK. You have 600 software titles currently available to you via their website. The service currently offers, yes, AAA titles like The Sims 3, Borderlands 2, and Mass Effect 3, alongside free-to-play games like Call of the Gods, which I'm going to go look for right after this show because I like the way it sounds, Ace Online, and yes, you can pick up Second Life from Amazon. Those of you who are complaining. It will also offer codes for other outlets, including Origin, Xbox Live, and Microsoft Office. The pricing appears to be very competitive as well. Amazon is currently offering Far Cry 3 and Anno 2027 for under 10 euros, games that were priced $19.99 on Steam. Amazon has also offered customer software downloads for a number of years, so I believe we may be able to go over and grab a few of those. Probably won't need it. So our UK people, listeners, congrats. Enjoy. Hope to see you around over the weekend playing something. Just don't talk to me while I'm making shoes or something.
Yeah, don't ever talk to her when she's making something. Nope. Very bad.
Mm-mm.
Very bad.
Mm-hmm. That is instant cutting. Mm-hmm. All right, we will see you guys Monday. We will be back, and probably over the weekend. I'm thinking about streaming that Cupcakeria thing. I have to. I'm sorry.
I got a couple things I need to stream. So yeah, you'll be seeing some stuff from me.
Ooh, I got to make the cupcakes, the sprinkles, and I'm gonna eat real cake while I do it. That just makes it all the more fun.
You know what? And I'm gonna go shopping today, buy myself a freaking cake just because of that.
Look, every woman should keep a cake in the house. I didn't say eat it, but you should keep one in the house for just such a gamer emergency.
True that. True that. All right, peace out, y'all. See y'all on Monday, baby.
Runs my domain, release my verbal attack. I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? Or just keep to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down, and there is no prevention. Nah, nah, nah. How I feel, I'm asking, cause I gotta wonder. Nah, nah, nah. Get your ass kicked by a girl.
Say bye to the people.
Bye.